Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to this Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
On New Year's Day.
That's right.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. You know, wherever you are, whatever you did last night, whatever you did last year is in the rearview mirror. Now, we started talking on yesterday's call about the ways to make 2019 your best year ever. And, of course, pursuing your purpose with a passion is really a key to that, I think.
But that's right.
And if you don't know your purpose, then ask God. He'll tell you. He doesn't want you ignorant about what he wants you to do. Now, we define purpose as two ways. One, the reason for which something exists or is done, made, used. And two, an intended or desired result, end, aim, and goal. Understand this. God has a purpose for your life.
That is
Say it out loud on New Year's Day. God has a purpose for my life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You could even make it personalized. God has a purpose for John's life. God has a purpose for Kareem's life. God has a purpose for Denise's life.
Hallelujah.
Personalize it for you because God has a purpose for your life.
That's right.
And see, purpose gives meaning to why we're doing what we're doing.
And a lot of motivation to go with it.
Absolutely. There are seven questions that will help us walk with a greater sense of purpose in 2019. Number one. Are you willing and ready to change? The real question is, are you willing to change regardless of what other people think or the consequences? The question for each of us today and every day is whether we're willing to do what's necessary to bring change into our lives. Are we willing to take classes at a community college or online to update or sharpen our skill set? Are we willing to alter our TV viewing, internet surfing, mall window shopping, watching and attending sporting events, patterns of behavior to make room, change these patterns of behavior to make room for the changes necessary to redirect our focus and thus our destiny. Change will come into your life. Either you initiate it or you experience someone else's vision of your future.
Number two. One of my favorites. Are you ready to put pressure on the Word of God? When you press the Word, then you begin to realize that the words that you're speaking will not be lost, wasted, empty, or without success. The spoken Word releases an energy that cannot be stopped, changed, deleted, erased, short-circuited, and will not come back empty-handed. That's what the Word says. Not only that, the Word has the ability to make something out of nothing.
Hallelujah.
When you press the Word, it will accomplish what it promised. You know, as we press that Word, the windows of heaven will open up and pour us out a blessing that we cannot contain. The Message Bible translation of Isaiah 55:11 says, "So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them."
Wow.
Amen and hallelujah.
Number three, are you ready to give God the praise, the glory, and the honor? Not just in church. Not just when you're listening to your favorite CD or MP3, but all the time. Now, there are events when God turns adversity into triumph. Defeat into victory. What the enemy means for harm, God always turns to good. Here's what we know. If the enemy is trying to trip you up going into this new year, you need to bounce around. Let me just say one more thing. Don't let him bounce you around like a basketball. Breathe deep. Relax. And start praising God for what he did in your life last year. And you should have a list of that, by the way. And because victory is coming to you in 2019.
Amen. Number four, are you ready to do good for others? In the nature of any adversity we face, it should never keep us from continuing to do good for other people, especially those who are brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's just part of our way out. There's no question in our minds that doing good for others is a major part of the divine fulfillment of our purpose. In other words, the reason we're breathing on planet Earth is so we can be a blessing and do good for the people God puts in our path. In Proverbs 3:27, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so." But here's the bottom line. You will never know what good you do for someone, that will affect the world for generations to come.
Honey, you and I have talked before, and we've shared this before
on
these calls. But have you ever, do you remember hearing of Edward Kimball, J. Wilbur Chapman, Mordecai Ham? Have you ever heard of Dwight L. Moody, Billy Sunday, and Billy Graham? Of course you have. As Paul Harvey would say, now here's the rest of the story.
That's right.
Sunday school teacher Edward Kimball helped lead Dwight L. Moody to Christ. J. Walter Chapman was converted at a Dwight L. Moody evangelistic meeting. Billy Sunday was converted at a Chapman meeting. Mordecai Ham was converted at a Billy Sunday meeting. And Billy Graham was converted at a Ham meeting. You may never know the full benefits of the good acts you do here on planet Earth. People may not know your name. They may not write books about you, but there is a book being written about you in heaven.
That's right. That will be last for eternity.
Hallelujah.
So much more important than down here.
See, we need to look at things the way God looks at them.
That's right.
And what he values.
It will change your whole perspective.
It will. Number five. Where do you find happiness and enjoyment? Every day.
Every day.
We have the choice of being happy, sad, mad, or glad, but we must never allow our circumstances to make the choices that only we should make. It may not be easy, but we'll be happy for it in the long run.
That is so true.
Happiness is an outward expression of an inner work.
Notice my husband said inner work. Sometimes it's going to take a little work on the inside.
Absolutely.
For us to be able to show the joy and the happiness on the outside.
And sometimes you have to look past the adversity of the past as you anticipate the revelation and manifestation in the future.
And even the circumstances around you.
That's exactly right. As we were saying, honey, that inner realization of mental and spiritual commitment that you've made to be more than what you are, do more than what you've already done, and bless more than you thought imaginable.
Hallelujah.
That'll make you happy.
Yes, it will.
So what does it take to make you happy? When was the last time you were really, really happy? Where did this happiness manifest? Online, in person, through social media, mail or emails? You find it hard to be happy in the midst of adversity? And I go back to the previous point. Just start praising him.
Amen.
Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise him all the day long.
It gives you a brand new perspective.
It does.
Number six, what kind of rewards are you looking for? You know, you get a fresh revelation every time if you read James 4:10 in the classic Amplified Bible. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he..." Hallelujah. He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. What does it mean to live a life that is significant? According to dictionary.com, the word significant means important, of consequence. The Bible says that the key to making your life significant is to humble yourself, to recognize that you can do nothing in and of yourself, but with God, you can do anything. The word humble in the Strong's Concordance means to behave in an unassuming manner, devoid of haughtiness, and to bring down one's pride. As we were finishing a study of James 4:10, We were reading it in the King James Version, and it says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." When we looked up the verse in Strong's Concordance and found that "he shall lift" is a Greek word, G5312, and it means to raise to the very summit of opulence and prosperity, to exalt, to raise to dignity, honor, and happiness. Wow. Needless to say, we got pretty excited about this definition. My husband loves the word opulence.
I do.
It just has a...
It sounds good.
Opulence. But according to dictionary.com, opulence means wealth, riches, or affluence. Abundance, as in resources of goods. It means having plenty. And that is what we call a reward. Real reward down here on planet Earth. Huh?
Absolutely. You know, we did a phone call, a teaching, some time back about living a life of significance and opulence.
Yes.
Go to HaroldHerring.com and search opulence or significance and read that teaching, and it'll bless you. And number 7, are you willing to make a lifelong commitment, paying the ultimate price? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "If a man hasn't discovered something he'll die for, he isn't fit to live." Is there a cause or someone you'd be willing to die for?
In John 10:17, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life to take it back again." There are people who bravely state that they'd be willing to die for another. No doubt they have a firm commitment and a resolve to pay that price, but sometimes things change. Perhaps you catch a glimpse of what your family would be like without you. In John 13, verse 37 and 38, John 13, starting in verse 37, finishing in 38, it says, "Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, before a rooster crows, you will deny me completely, disown me 3 times.
When the time came for Peter to stand up and with Jesus, he did neither. Our purpose is to stand tall with Jesus. But here are 7 things. Purpose is not. First, purpose is not following the crowd or what's trending on Twitter.
Second, our purpose is not wishing and hoping that something might happen.
Third, our purpose is not talking about what we want to do, think about, or what we used to do.
Fourth, our purpose isn't temporary or fleeting.
Fifth, our purpose is not doing what others do just because they say we should, because we feel pressured to do so.
Sixth, our purpose is not accepting what someone else, no matter how well-meaning, wants for our lives.
And seventh, our purpose is doing what everybody else wants instead of what God wants. That's definitely not our purpose.
That's right.
That's the enemy's purpose. We thought about what to talk about here on New Year's Day, and we decided this teaching is foundational
and sets the stage for 2019.
It does. And it's foundational. It's fundamental. It's exactly what we felt led of the Lord to share today. This is a significant day for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. 6 years ago, for the first time, we started Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Yes, indeed.
And glancing over the long list of people who dial in each day, I see a number of people who've been with us every day since the very beginning.
Wow.
We're deeply appreciative.
I'm so blessed.
So blessed. My favorite book in 2017 was called Two Chairs. And beginning tomorrow, we're going to teach that book. You need to plan to listen. It'll give you a different perspective on prayer.
Yes, it will.
It will encourage you in life, and it'll be a blessing to you.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Well, till tomorrow morning. You know what happens in 3 days?
It's a national holiday.
It is.
Oh.
My birthday.
That's right.
I've already started celebrating. Well, anyhow, till tomorrow morning at 8:30. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.